Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Let's find out how far from Winslow, Arizona, Michael Farber is. It's Monday. It's after 6. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. We're joined every Monday at this time by award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber on assignment in Arizona. How are you?
I'm good. I have no idea how far Winslow is, but to quote the dude in The Big Lebowski, and I'm going to paraphrase here, I hate the Eagles.
Oh, I'm so happy you've seen that movie.
Oh, is that one Rod has seen as well?
I don't know if these guys have seen The Big Lebowski. I can't believe they haven't seen it. I'm not getting a nod from Gallo here. He's got a mouthful of grapes or something. I don't know what.
Not grapes. Blueberries high in antioxidants. No, I haven't.
You've
seen
never
it.
Seen the Big.
Oh, the Coen brothers.
Rod?
They're brilliant.
Are you kidding me? I quit. This is the last straw. I can't believe that. They're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Dudes. All right. I got to process this. So what are you doing in Arizona?
I'm doing some work for TSN. I'm sitting down with Joey Votto tomorrow and Justin Morneau on Wednesday.
Oh, Canadian ball players.
Canadian ball players. Great Canadian ball players. Justin Morneau won the batting title last year after coming back from concussions. Part of the problem I have is, what does the batting title mean in a world of analytics? He was 121st in WAR while winning the batting title. And to me, it will always resonate because, well, it was one-third of the way to the Triple Crown. And the batting title, it meant a lot. And on the other hand, you have Joey Votto, who's entirely into analytics, who draws a lot of walks. He led the National League, and in fact, all of baseball for walks, I believe, four straight seasons. And he's being criticized in Cincinnati by Marty Brenneman, whom you know, Mitch.
Oh, great Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, for his approach at the plate. So we're kind of living at the intersection of these two ways of looking at the game, and it's something I will explore with each of them in the next 2 days.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, as far as I know, there's no award for WAR at the end of the season, is there?
No, there is not, but it's become the guideline for so many people and the prism through which they view the game, the membrane through which baseball has been filtered. And we saw that for sure when Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young in the American League a few years ago, and I think his record was something like 14-13.
Right.
Back in the day, if you saw a pitcher with a one-loss record of 14-13, you would have chortled and moved on when you were checking your ballot.
Well, the Marty Brenneman comments are interesting because I recall, and this is long before WAR existed, there were stats that people were moving in that direction, but it wasn't, you didn't see it printed. When Jack Clark and Tony Gwynn were teammates, they were after each other quite a bit. And one of the things that Jack Clark was criticized for was taking too many walks instead of trying to expand his strike zone and drive in runs. Well, Jack Clark managed to drive in a lot of runs in his career, and he happened to draw a lot of walks because he had a great eye.
Well, you look at Votto, and his career on-base percentage is the 21st best in the history of the game. It's .417. 42% of the time he's on base. You know who he's tied with, in a virtual tie with, in the all-time list? Stan Musial.
Who?
Yeah. Yeah. Is Rod saying who?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at these two guys for a reaction. I'm not getting any.
Stan Musial. Cardinals?
Yeah.
Stan the man. Cardinals. Gee. Mitch, you and I have to keep doing old man radio.
I know. It's, well, The Big Lebowski. I mean, that's just pathetic. But no, here's when you have, like, would they have dumped? Maybe they did, because Ted Williams had issues in his days, as you know, with writers.
Yes.
But would they have dumped on Ted Williams for taking too many walks, even though he hit 400?
Yeah, I don't know. But what I do know is it's probably 25 degrees Celsius here today, and I just feel so darn good, and I feel so glad to be back at spring training. It's a magical time, not as magical as it once was. It's far more regimented. You remember how informal it used to be.
I always tell people it's the best. If you're a baseball fan, you got to do spring training at least once.
And again, it's not the good old days where you have essentially unfettered access to players, and as journalists, you have unfettered access to managers and players, and it's far more regimented. But baseball has been such a big part of my life growing up in New Jersey. You know, it's the first sport that we played and we thought of, and in fact, it really, all the family stories I have revolve around baseball. In fact, my mother being ignored when she was taken home to meet my father's parents the first time because she swore that the Dodger game was on TV. I suspect it was on the radio. But, you know, she said, well, this isn't, you didn't tell them you were serious about me. They're only paying attention to the Brooklyn Dodgers. My father died at a young age, at 29, and he was a big Dodger fan, and he had come back from the ballpark and later that night died. It was heart issues. And, in fact, you were there in 1981 when the Expos in the playoffs, and the Expos Hotel in Philadelphia was that CP Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to introduce my mother to Duke Snider. Okay, I bring her over, and I said, Duke, it's my mother, and she says, you know, Duke, if you didn't swing at all those bad pitches, I suspect my first husband would still be alive today. So talking about strike zones and Joey Votto.
Yeah, all right. That's a nice tie-in there, Michael. Yeah.
What's that?
Nice tie-in.
Yeah, I was thinking
nice
about strike zones. And, of course, we have the Montreal Baseball Project and Vladdy Guerrero. And have you ever seen a guy with the strike zone he had who struck out so infrequently?
No, amazing. Incredible. Yeah, incredible plate coverage.
Yeah, amazing. Never seen anything like it.
So you're saying I would enjoy spring training less?
You would.
Because?
You would, because it's more regimented. There's far more chain link. I blame the New York Mets for that in Port St. Lucie. That was the first where suddenly there was chain link fence everywhere and you just couldn't stop a ball player. Well, you remember the Expos place in West Palm and, you know, the low fence. You want to talk to somebody and,
oh,
you know,
and all the back diamonds.
The backfield, we
yeah.
call it Iwo Jima.
Yeah, they had several back diamonds there.
Yeah, yeah, the main back diamond. And I remember one day watching Wallace Johnson, it would have been the spring of 82, take ground balls with John McHale. And I says, so what do you think, John? And he says, well, I don't think we'd use him to give a clinic, but he'll be okay. And, of course, I wrote that in the Gazette, and Wallace Johnson may still be angry with me.
Well, they're about 8 second basemen after they got rid of Rodney Scott. They even tried Tim Raines there for a bit.
You know what? And I believe that if Tim Raines had stuck at second base, he would have been in the Hall of Fame years ago because he's being judged as an outfielder and against other outfielders. You put his numbers for a second baseman, he would have been universally hailed as one of the great second basemen of all time.
Well, just on the batting title for Justin Morneau, since you were talking about that before, and the WAR comparisons, Michael, you know what the analytic people will argue about Justin Morneau's numbers. It's the same Larry Walker argument from years ago. The only reason Morneau put up the numbers he did is because he plays at a field that is very easy to hit in.
Well, but if you look at his splits, what he did at home and what he did on the road, not much of a difference. So ballpark is a factor. In fact, I think that's in WAR plus takes care of factors in ballparks. But his splits were very, very similar, home and away. I mean, he's a really great story because he had that concussion, got kicked in the head, and for years he was wandering in the wilderness. And now he's back. And Votto, who had meniscus surgery and had quad problems last year, is back and healthy, and these are two generational Canadian ballplayers. And you look around the major leagues, and there are lots of Canadians making big contributions, and these are two of the guys, and I'm glad I'm getting to sit down with them.
Yeah, but you're missing the Canadians-Tampa Bay Lightning matchup tomorrow night.
I am, because I want to see how they handle Stamkos. Remember the 7-1 game early in the year?
That was the Stamkos show.
And they had the hat trick, and P.K. Subban said, tell Steven that's not going to happen again, i.e., he's not going to score a hat trick.
That's right.
i.e., I mean, it's my favorite quote of the hockey season. So much has gone on since then with Subban, and we all talked about his rocky start. He is so good right now, so very good, that talking to people who vote for the hockey awards, he's not getting nearly enough traction for another Norris. When he won the Norris, he wasn't killing penalties.
That's right.
He wouldn't have been the kind of top guy. You look around the league now. Now that Giordano in Calgary is gone and gone for the year, other than Shea Weber, who is better, or you can make a better argument for, than P.K. Subban? His game has grown up so much this year, and as hard as we've all been on Michel Therrien, and maybe Therrien has nothing to do with any of this, or J.J. Daniel has nothing to do with any of this, but Subban has become a real, real stud, far better than he was in his half-season Norris, as his father is so fond of pointing out. And my son won half a Norris, Carl Subban says.
One day he'll win the full trophy. He's put up Drew Doughty numbers in terms of the time that he spends on the ice these games.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing half the games.
Horse. He plays on arguably the best pair in the league. You can make an argument for Weber and Josie in Nashville, and that's a legitimate argument. And when Giordano was healthy, he was playing with TJ Brody, and that was a really good pair. But right now, who is better than Subban and Markov around the league? I don't see a pair better, and you can make the Nashville argument, but you can make a very good argument for the Montreal pair.
And in closing, Michael, I know there's a time difference where you are, but I also know that the clocks were moved ahead everywhere, including where you are.
No, actually,
no?
It doesn't. Phoenix stays on Mountain Standard Time all year. So if I had come here on Saturday, there would have been a two-hour time difference. Now there's a three-hour time difference. And don't you love how didactic I'm getting on you?
Well, it's just so Nazem Kadri would really have an excuse.
Oh.
If he was in Arizona.
Yeah, you know what? That thing is just absolutely slid into the toilet, and people in Toronto are, you know, sackcloth and ashes. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's just another crummy Leaf season. How many of those have you seen? I mean, the real punch to the gut was when they made the playoffs. Phil Kessel, throwing out the first game, had a fabulous series. They're up 4-1 in Boston, about 10 minutes to go in Game 7, and lose. That people will remember forever. I mean, you know, we can fix Nazem Kadri with an alarm clock.
Come on. It's not happening? It's stuck? We wanted to go out with a good old-fashioned toilet flush here in light of what you said, but yeah, our production values are a little off. Rod's heading to San Diego. He'll be closer to you than us tomorrow.
Okay, well, he will enjoy the fine Mexican cuisine.
That's even better. Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you next week.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.